Robert Filliou is a French poet, writer, and artist who's never taken, so far as I know, a creative writing course, whose degree was in economics. His first published work, he was a co-author of the United Nations White Paper for the Postwar Recovery of Korea. He abandoned economics and went into art back in the 1950s, mid-50s. In the late 1950s, he became associated with a group in Paris organized by Pierre Rastani called the Nouveau Realiste, who were informally associated with the American New Realism. And later, many of the people among the Nouveau Realiste became associated with the Fluxus movement. Fluxus itself was an outgrowth organized by students of John Cage of the Happenings movement, which was very active in performing arts, iconoclastic forms of various sorts, in the late 1950s and early 60s. And the two people with whom Filliou has been most closely associated over the years are Daniel Spyri, one of the Nouveau Realiste, and George Brecht, one of the Fluxus people. He comes from southern France, Filliou, and his French is decidedly not Academy French. His preference culturally is entirely for his region, for the Argot, and in fact, his publications have almost all taken place outside of France, in Belgium and in West Germany, in England, in the United States, even in Iceland, but almost nothing in France. Now, his work with Spyri has taken such forms as a group of exhibitions of visual realizations of French proverbs. Another important group of things, he and George Brecht rented a little shop in southern France in Villefranche near Nice, which is a tourist town. And off-season, it's a very, very quiet place, which was just fine for them, because they sat around in their little shop, which was called La Cédille qui Sourit, and which was supposedly a place where things were sold which did have a cédille in the name in French, or which did not have a cédille in the name in French. And they sat around building projects and cloud castles of various sorts, some of which were very practical, very realizable things. For instance, one of their more feasible things was a thing which they even proposed to a French legislator, that marriage license should be made temporary, that your marriage license would be good, say, for 5 years. And if at the end of that time you chose not to renew it, why, automatically your marriage was terminated, which would at least cause people to reconsider the relationship over the years. Others of the things which they dreamed of were pieces in a more Fluxus format. Fluxus is associated with happenings and improvised art and with the use of scenarios, but not of literary texts, and also with miniatures and games. And they made many, many games and miniature pieces, such as a series of things called one-minute scenarios, which were intended to be either films or videotapes, which would last approximately 1 minute to perform, little visual fantasies, visual puns of one sort or another. When I was a publisher of Something Else Press in the late 60s, we issued a book of Filliou and Brecht's speculations called Games at the Cédille. And you can see quite a few of the projects which I've described in there, the one-minute scenarios and also more difficult to describe things. But many, many of these things were games of art because they wanted to stress the game aspect of art and the humor. Now, this text which we're going to hear, The Whispered Art History, was written originally in English. Unlike most French authors, Filliou is quite excellent in English and has written quite a few of his texts in English. There's only one error, and that nobody, so far as I know, has ever wanted to correct Filliou on. See if you can find it. It has to do with glasses. He talks about a nearsighted person, or which he calls short-sighted, which is perfectly all right, and he talks about far-sighted as being long-sighted, is the term he uses. It's sort of picturesque where it comes up, so nobody's ever wanted to correct poor Robert about that one. It is a lecture, and the lecture is a perfectly valid art form, but almost nobody ever uses it as such. John Cage has done so in recent years, but apart from him, I don't know of any lectures that are also artworks since the 19th century, since the days, say, of Emerson or of Matthew Arnold or of John Henry Newman or others of that sort. Also, it refers to and tropes the French sermon style, which is considered classical, of people such as Bossuet. But where Bossuet is very lovely and very moving, a sort of French classical prose at its height, it's usually studied by people who are interested in rhetoric. The style is extremely humorless, and that cannot be said of Robert Filliou's Whispered Art History, which is humorous and cyclical in its approach. It uses personal mythologies, which he builds up. For instance, the beginning of the history of art takes place on January 17th, which just happens to be Filliou's birthday. And it develops metaphors in a very impersonal way. They notice the contrast between the whispered parts and the spoken parts, which are numerical. You can fill in your own imagination these numerical parts, what might come on such days. And the ways that he speaks them sounds like the traditional method of reading Bossuet and that kind of thing. But rather than simply insist that it's humorous and to try to drag on explaining what the text is like, I think it can pretty well stand on its own legs, and I suggest that that's what it do.